Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be able to, on this Sunday before Christmas, to gather together to see this Lord play put on, the cantata, the music, all that went into it, Lord. It stirs our heart. It takes our minds backward. And now, Lord, the blessing of being able to hear the Christmas story read. Lord, I pray that you will help us, dear God, to focus our attention for the next few minutes on you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I am asking most everybody the same question this morning. Are you ready for Christmas? Most of the adults look panicked, roll their eyes. Husbands especially seem to be a little bit confused as to what to do. I will be meeting with most of you on Christmas Eve. I'll probably run into you somewhere in Terre Haute as we do our last minute Christmas Eve shopping. I found it's just a lot easier. I mean, you can't procrastinate, you can't put it off, and everything's pretty much gone, so the choices are pretty easy, they're limited. You know, you can get usually some type of a chia plant. There's things left, and so it's a good time to go. When I asked the children, are you ready for Christmas, all I got was excitement, and this same answer over and over again, they know. They know how many days. They said to me over and over, 5 days, preacher. 5 days till Christmas. Hey, preacher, it's 5 days. I say, you ready for Christmas? 5 days till Christmas. And I began to think this week as I was preparing a message that I would deliver 5 days before Christmas. I wanted to go back into a time capsule and think, what was the world like? What was the earth like? What was going on 5 days before Jesus Christ was born? I began to think about that, and I thought, you know, sadly, although there was great excitement in heaven, there seemed to be a lack of awareness of what was about to happen. Everyone now knows there's 5 days till Christmas. Back then, nobody knew, and it seemed like very little seemed to care. But in heaven, it was a different story. 5 days before Jesus was born, I believe, number one, there was excitement in heaven. In 5 days, the Son of God was going to be born. Approximately 9 months earlier, the third member of the triune God had overshadowed a young Jewish girl, and through divine conception placed within her the second member of the triune God. The Bible says the Word had become flesh and soon would dwell among us. These past many months, Jesus the Savior was developing in the safe sanctuary of a virgin's womb. The day of his delivery was at hand. All heaven's attention was placed on Bethlehem. All of heaven was enthralled. Angel choirs 5 days before Christmas, angel choirs were dressed in divine glory, practicing the melodic announcement that they would soon deliver to a handful of shepherds outside of Bethlehem. Imagine them as they sing with perfect pitch, perfect harmony, their voices filling the heaven as the words flow with power and worship, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. 5 days before Christmas, perhaps on earth, a different group of angels, 5 days before Christmas, are accompanying Mary and Joseph as they begin their difficult journey from Nazareth towards Bethlehem. If you will, picture these angels with flaming swords surrounding and protecting the ones who would care for the infant Christ. It's no secret that Satan is enraged at what is transpiring. From the first prophecy in the Garden of Eden, the wicked one had done all he could to destroy the royal lineage from whose loins would come the one whose heel would bruise his head. For hundreds of years, the serpent had hissed, the lion had roared, and now upon earth, demons screamed and devils threatened as strong angels escort a man leading a donkey upon which sat a virgin carrying the Savior of the world 5 days before Christmas. Jehovah God watches from heaven, thinking thoughts we cannot think and feeling emotions we cannot feel, aware that soon his son would be born in a stable and laid in a manger. A vacant throne is on the right hand of God the Father, as the King's only begotten Son prepares to take his place among men. His royal robes lay on the throne, soon to be traded for swaddling clothes, and then a carpenter's apron, then the attire of a prophet, and soon a velvet robe of mockery as he's led to a cross. Then a burial robe and a napkin, and then, praise the Lord, 3 days later, back to claim once again the royal robes of his righteousness. God selected and commissioned a solitary star. Think about that. Giving it increased power and divine direction, this star began to intensify and begin its journey towards the small town of Bethlehem. In 7 days it will arrive. 5 days it'll arrive. Set the sky ablaze, pointing the world to the light of the world. All the other stars at first look on with envy, and then I think they begin to rejoice. The Creator was coming to earth. Emmanuel was soon to arrive. Just 5 days before Christmas, there was an excitement in heaven. Number two, 5 days before Christmas, there was ignorance on earth. Ignorance on earth. Think about that. 5 days before Christmas, people of the earth, even the people of God, what are they doing? Well, they're too busy to acknowledge the coming of their king. The Jews seem to be oblivious to it. Shocked when the Magi come. Shocked when there's talk of a king. The world system led by Caesar Augustus has distracted and disrupted what should have been a time of peaceful preparation and holy consideration. He has accomplished this by focusing their minds on and efforts on money. The buzz on the streets was not about the coming prophesied Savior, but about relocation and refinancing as all are sent to their hometown so that more taxes could be collected. What about the religious leaders, preacher? 5 days before Christmas, they're aware of what's happening. Oh, the scribes and the Pharisees, they should have known. Religious leaders should have been aware. Had they been studying the Old Testament prophecies instead of increasing their savings accounts at the expense of widows and polishing their wordy prayers that they would soon deliver on crowded streets so that men would stand in awe and applaud them. They should have been searching the scriptures. Had they done that, they'd been able to pinpoint the place, the means, and the general timetable of the coming of their Messiah, but they were captured by carnality instead of consumed with the coming of Christ. Shepherds watched their sheep outside of Bethlehem 5 days before Jesus came. No inkling, no thought that there was going to be a heavenly fireworks display they'd be privy to in just 5 short days. An innkeeper wrung his hands with excitement at the increased revenue that the Roman taxation would bring to his coffers. Completely unaware, completely unconcerned that in 5 days, journeying out towards him, was a young virgin carrying the Savior of the world, making her way to his door. As he slipped out to the barn to take care of the livestock, he had no idea that he was throwing hay into a manger that 5 days later would be the birthing bed of the King of Heaven. Heaven was aglow, and the earth is unaware. Heaven was rejoicing, and the earth was distracted. Heaven was anticipating the greatest day thus far in the history of the world, and the earth and its inhabitants were encumbered with their own wants, their own desires, their own plans. Isn't it sad that heaven shouted while the earth heaved a selfish sigh 5 days before Christmas? Number three, 5 days before Christmas, there was a remnant who watched and waited. Think about that. Now, preacher, you said everyone on earth was unaware. Well, almost. There were a few exceptions. A young virgin girl felt the Savior move within her womb. Her mind went back to the appearance of the angel who announced to her that she'd been selected as the handmaid of the Lord, the chosen vessel to carry and deliver a king. A young husband walked ahead of her. Maybe occasionally he looked back at her face, his face etched with husbandly concern over his pregnant wife. Her smile eased his worry along with the memory of the same angel who had visited him in a dream and explained to him her role in bringing the world the Messiah. Hundreds of miles away, think about this, dark men gathered and studied and whispered and wondered. These magi, these descendants of the group of gathered wise men assembled by Nebuchadnezzar, these cultivators of astrology, philosophy, and medicine were studying the writings of one of their predecessors, a Jewish prophet by the name of Daniel. By studying, they learned. They became convinced that the advent of a great king would arise from among the Jews. The prophecy was there. It was so compelling that they began the process of selecting from among them 3 men who would embark upon a journey to locate the King of the Jews 5 days before Christmas. 5 days before Christmas, and only a few anticipated Christ's coming. Only a few waited and watched. Only a few refused to be distracted and detained by the world's warped sense of values. And because of this, in 5 days, there would be at least a few there to celebrate his arrival. I want to present to you a thought, and this is the message for this morning. What if Jesus Christ decided to come back a second time this Christmas day? What if we were 5 days from Jesus coming the second time? Only this time, not all the way to the earth, just to the clouds, to blow the trumpet and to receive his own to heaven. What if we were 5 days from? You say, preacher, what? Do you really believe that it'd be possible that Jesus Christ might choose Christmas Day to come back again? Well, let me just say, first of all, that the Bible says of the day of hour, no man knoweth. And I'm certainly not a man that sets dates, but I would hope to live my life in anticipation of Jesus coming every day, any day. But suppose that he chose Christmas Day 2015 to come again. Say, preacher, would things have changed that month? Well, I think heaven would still be aglow with anticipation. I think if they had any inkling in heaven that they were 5 days from Jesus coming back, there would be the same excitement as there was the first time. Sadly, I hate to report this, but the earth and its inhabitants seem like they are back to the same state that they were before, ignorantly distracted, individually unaware that Jesus Christ could come back again, and sadly unconcerned. The Bible says, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. I don't know about you, but that verse there suggests to me that it very well could be a day like Christmas, where it seems like most of the world are thinking about everything except about what they ought to be thinking about, that Jesus could come again. We do have some clue as to when Jesus will come. The Bible says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the others left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And I'm thinking about as the day of Noah's the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Eating, drinking, partying, everything going on, nobody paying attention. In Matthew chapter 25, we're told the story of 10 virgins. The Bible says that they took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them and sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." What if we were 5 days from Jesus coming back for the second time? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Let us therefore not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." If we were 5 days from Jesus coming back in the rapture to receive those of us that are saved into the air, the world and the circumstances have not changed that much. There's heaven above, there's earth distracted, but thank God, let me just say this, there is a remnant that is awaiting the arrival of a king. And we're not all slumbering and sleeping. And the Bible says that we are to be the children of light. We're not to be as the children of darkness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So we know by that prophecy that there will be a group of people that will be ready and watching and love that the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen to come back. I can't think of a better thing to happen on Christmas Day than for the Lord Jesus to say, "As the world, at least a remnant of the world, is celebrating my birthday, I think I'll just go back and get my children." Amen. Now, let's suppose that that's the case. Might be, let's suppose that's the case. Here's the question. Are you ready for him? Would you go? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The young people did a great job there of giving the gospel. Did you pay attention? Did you notice that? They told the other girl, "You know what? You can know for sure that you're ready for heaven. You have to understand that you're a sinner. You have to fall under conviction of sin. You have to be willing to repent of that sin. Turn from that sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. You also have to understand that if you fail to do so, just as much as the Bible teaches about a place called heaven, folks, I would be derelict in my duties as a pastor if I did not tell you the same Bible speaks about a place called hell. And if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can be assured that if Jesus was to come in 5 days, you'd be caught up together to meet him in the air. And then the Bible says that so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a good thing. But for those who have neglected and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say this, there is a place called hell. and it's forever. But let me say this. I've got good news for you. Jesus did not stay in that manger. He grew up. He lived a perfect life. He died on an old rugged cross. Not for his sins, because he had no sin. He died for the sins of all mankind. Jerry Ross's sins was laid on Jesus Christ on that day. And he paid for my sins and he paid for yours also. And if anybody here is willing to say, "Preacher, I want the gift of eternal life. I want what Jesus purchased for me that day. I want to be ready when that trumpet sounds. I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I want to settle that once and for all." You know what? If you're willing today to come just as you are, a sinner, lost, bound for hell, but willing to trust in a Savior who made salvation available to every single one of us through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Preacher, with all my heart, I believe that. With all my heart, today I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just a moment, we're going to give an invitation, and we invite each and every one of you. If you'd like to be saved, we'll have men standing here at the front. They can get the Bible, or if you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. That's the invitation, and that's the greatest decision that you can make on this Sunday, five days before Christmas. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. All we've experienced, it's touched our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's never received you as Savior, they don't know for sure that they're saved, that they would choose this day. They would choose this day to become a child of God. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for a church that preaches it. Thank you that when I was a young man, I found my way into a church kind of like this and a preacher that told me how to get saved. Lord, thank you for working tenderly in my heart, bringing me to the point where I knew that I was lost and I needed a Savior. Lord, the invitation is this morning to those who need you as Savior. And I pray, dear God, if there's anyone here that's never been saved, that today would be the day, with your Holy Spirit's hand upon them, the conviction of their sin, Lord, that they would come and seek a Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name.